Luke, thank you so much for joining us on Breakfast with Refilwe. This is such an important sector of our economy. I often describe it as probably the biggest human capital backbone South Africa has, insofar as for comparative to other countries, pretty low pay, they are able to free up the working population to get on with their hopes and dreams as well. How are you today?
Morning, Rafilwa. Yes, absolutely agreed. I think it's the bedrock of South Africa in many ways, yet seemingly invisible from the conversation many times.
And so it's important that this kind of a report is undertaken. You're looking not just at income, but also at their working hours and the like. What were some of the biggest findings for you that stood out the most?
So I think what was key for us in this report was that we started this 5 years ago for us to measure, like, how are we doing against the industry? And part of our mission was to try and improve conditions. And so, you know, we expected to see progress year on year. We obviously had a pandemic struck, and then that had a catastrophic impact. And, you know, this really was a report that we thought, okay, now we've been measuring the recovery. How quickly is this industry bouncing back? And then what we saw, and obviously are experiencing much of us, that with spiraling inflation and costs, that incomes under pressure amongst the middle class and employers has been devastating to the industry. So while we've seen some recovery in earnings amongst domestic workers, these now still fall below, significantly below minimum wage in South Africa, where South Africa, compared to other African nations, has actually generally tracked ahead of minimum wage. And what we were fighting for was for us to get to a living wage. And so what we've seen, sort of catastrophic job losses, but we're also seeing an increase in this phenomenon known as underemployment. Mm. So that's where a domestic worker may be working fewer days and thus earning less money, and they're just not being the demand for them to be able to replace those days.
A frightening finding from your study that almost half of South African and Kenyan respondents get income from sources outside their domestic work. So over and above what is actually quite physical, quite taxing labor, as you say, the underemployment means that almost half of them are not able to make ends meet.
Yeah, so what we generally see, and this I think just applies generally to the working class and poorer segment, is that there's a need to, the so-called hustle. Like, you're forced to try and make ends meet, your costs outstrip your earnings. So you're looking at any contribution you can to try and add to that household cost. And thankfully in South Africa, our grant system generally is the most successful there in helping support.
That and also their own stokvel or sort of rotational savings that they have amongst themselves.
Yeah, so we do see that stokvel participation, and Kenya has a similar system, did drop during COVID, but that has recovered somewhat and, is the primary saving mechanism that domestic workers use.
If I recall correctly, in Kenya, if there are five or more employees in a company, that company needs to provide a pension service. Does that apply to Sweepstars?
So what we see with Sweepstars is that because we're not directly employing workers, that would then, as a platform where they're working for customers, we are looking at trying to further develop these financial services, especially in the sort of employment legislation that we have and the sort of area that platform workers sit in. This is something where we've been directly engaging in trying to work out better protections and services and benefits that we can provide as a platform. Although this has been challenging thus far, it is something that at least because of the maturity of South Africa's ecosystem, we're making progress and then looking further to do that in our other African markets.
It becomes quite difficult, I suppose, just from the Sweepstar model insofar as not everybody has the same person. You know, how do I look after your pension if you're not the same person coming in necessarily on a weekly basis, right? And I guess that's where, the platform is a lot better or a lot more useful, maybe some kind of a percentage contribution or something to a base.
Yeah, I think that's where part of you'll see in the report that what we're pushing for in the industry is not just that current protections get enforced, that we look to update our legislation to match the evolving model of work. And that, like, this isn't just sweep south. Increasingly, we're seeing among domestic workers is that ad hoc work, you know, WhatsApping your worker today, oh, no, please come in or you know, come in this Thursday, is becoming the predominant model over permanent or live-in work. And so paying UIF contributions or taking part in sort of social protections that are afforded in South Africa are just not geared towards the sort of ad hoc, you know, paying a percentage of every booking as opposed to paying a fixed fee a month based on particular criteria. That's exactly what we want to see. And as a tech platform, we're actually able to do quite easily, provided that we're able to integrate easily into government systems.
Luke, I don't want to hold it against South African households that they are no longer able to afford housekeepers. It's been a tough couple of years. You know, people have lost jobs, and so it stands to reason that hours have been cut quite a bit, or days have been cut in general. But can we talk about the working conditions of those who are still employed? They are harrowing, really. Some working a full 7 hours, 7 days a week. Did this include sweeps out as well as other domestic workers?
So generally with sweep stars, we sort of prescribe that 6 days are the maximum that one can work through the platform. But yeah, so that's the thing, is that we're seeing in the market that there's increasing desperation. And this has implications for both those working conditions, but then also the abuse faced at work, that one's having to tolerate far more at work because you're so desperate for the work there. And because of that, like, asymmetrical power between employee and employer, that, yeah, domestic workers will put up with that pain, because just having that income is the exception now in the market.
A frightening stat that most of them, or a large number of them, work more than 10 hours a day, having to commute for more than an hour. I would probably put that at 2 hours in Cape Town. And that, of course, foreign workers, as we see in many other industries, face a great deal more abuse than local workers.
Yeah, so certainly those working the longer hours, is that generally we've actually seen that South Africa has been better in this respect, and now this is starting to increase as a phenomenon. It's still not the predominant one, but yes, certainly, like, this is where we look at a more holistic view, including that commute time, because that has this knock-on impact of where, you know, this is primarily an employment sector that's made up of women, and they have unpaid domestic responsibilities at home in terms of taking care of their kids, bringing up their household, cooking for their household, and this just means, yeah, the quality of life. And part of what our report looks at is the sort of mental health and well-being and access to mental health care that domestic workers have. That certainly is something that continues to be a challenge in these communities, Rafilwe.
Lots to consider. And as I say, we're squeezed from all sides. Families have, you know, fewer resources, but grateful to have this kind of insight from Sweep South. Thanks a lot, Luke Kannemeyer, Chief Operating Officer at Sweep South, talking about the 5th annual Sweep South report on pay and working conditions for domestic workers.